Welcome to D&B College. Today we're going to build a controlled RAG vocal layer in Ableton Live 12, and we're going to do it in a way that sounds big, feels intentional, and stays light on CPU. This is a really useful move in drum and bass, because RAG vocals can give a track instant attitude. They bring pressure, character, and that raw system energy. But if you leave them unshaped, they can get messy fast. They fight the snare, cloud the bass, and start chewing up processing if you stack too many effects trying to make them work. So the aim here is simple. Keep the vocal hyped, rhythmic, and clear, while building a lean chain that you can actually finish with. Start with one clean vocal clip. Don't overcomplicate it. Put the sample on a single audio track and trim it hard. Keep only the strongest phrase, shout, or ad-lib. In D&B, shorter usually hits harder. A one-bar or even half-bar vocal hit often works better than a long phrase, because it leaves room for the snare and bass to breathe. Set the clip so it lands exactly on the grid, or just slightly the head if you want urgency. If there's a long tail, cut it. Don't rely on the raw sample to provide all the space. You can create the sense of size later with delay or reverb. What to listen for here is the attack. The first consonant or vowel should feel immediate. If it drags in late, the phrase loses its punch. And if the sample starts before the drop, that should create tension, not feel like a mistake. Now let's clean it up with a minimal stock chain. Ableton's EQ8 is the first stop. High pass the vocal somewhere around 100 to 180 Hz, depending on the source. For rough RAG material, you can often go higher than you expect, because you do not want it stepping on the sub or the low mid bass. If it sounds boxy, make a small cut around 200 to 400 Hz. That's usually where the cloudiness lives. Then add compressor if the phrase is uneven. Keep it modest. You're not crushing the life out of it, just smoothing the level so the effects behave more predictably. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 is usually enough. Use a reasonably quick attack if the consonants are spiky, and let the release recover naturally with the phrase. If the vocal gets harsh, don't overreact with big boosts. A gentle dip somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz is often a cleaner fix, especially in drum and bass, where that range is already busy with snare snap and percussion bite. What to listen for now is focus, not thinness. The vocal should feel tighter and more readable after EQ and compression. If it loses all its RAG character, you've probably cut too much body. Now we decide the core flavor. Do you want it dry and upfront, or echoed and dubby? If the track is dense, if the breaks are busy, or if the bass line is doing a lot, the dry option is often the better move. Use very little reverb, maybe a small room or short plate, just enough to take the edge off. That keeps the vocal like a command or chant, sitting right on the front of the groove. If the arrangement has more space, or if you want that darker jungle and dubwise feeling, go for delay, or delay with a bit of reverb. Try a sync delay time like an eighth note or dotted eighth, depending on how crowded the drums are. Keep the feedback moderate so it repeats without smearing the snare. Why this works in D&B is pretty simple. The drums and bass already carry so much weight that the vocal does not need to be huge in a traditional sense. It needs to be decisive. A small, well-placed phrase with a bit of grit can sound much bigger than a long wet vocal that is swallowing the groove. To keep the chain light on CPU, stick to a simple stock device flow. EQ8, compressor, saturator, then either delay or reverb. That's a strong beginner chain. Saturator is especially useful here, because it can add density and edge without needing a heavy plug-in stack. Start with a small drive amount, around 2 to 5 dB, and use soft clip if the sample peaks aggressively. If the vocal is already distorted, keep saturator light. You want thickness, not fuzz overload. If you need a little more bite, shape it with EQ instead of adding another distortion stage. A subtle tilt or tiny top-end adjustment is usually cleaner and easier on the session than piling on more effects. That's one of the big lessons here. Every device should have a job you can name clearly. Now let's make it feel like part of the arrangement instead of a loop parked on top of the track. Automate it. This is where the vocal starts acting like a D&B arrangement tool. Bring the vocal level down slightly during the busiest drum passages. Let it rise in the bar before the drop. Open the delay or reverb only on the last word, shout, or accent of the phrase. Then pull that effect back right after the impact. A great pattern in an intro is to let the vocal appear every 8 bars, then give it a stronger hit right before the drop. In a roller, a 4-bar or 8-bar call and response can work really well. The point is to give the vocal a job. Maybe it announces the drop. Maybe it marks the switch. Maybe it creates a little danger before the groove lands. Once it has a role, it feels like arrangement language rather than random decoration. What to listen for? when you automate is whether the vocal blooms at the right moment and gets out of the way afterwards. If the effects keep hanging around too long, they'll smear over the groove. If they're too subtle, you'll lose the drama. Now check the vocal against the drums and bass playing together. Not in solo. Solo is useful for cleaning, but the real decision happens in context. Ask yourself, does the vocal lead the energy without covering the snare crack or the bass movement? If the snare loses its front edge when the vocal hits, reduce the vocal around 2 to 5 kHz or drop the level a couple of dB. If the bass feels like it disappears when the vocal gets wider, drenched in effects, pull back on the width and keep the center more focused. This is a big DMB principle. The snare is often the anchor. The vocal should frame that anchor, not blur it. And if the vocal only sounds good in solo, that's your signal to stop and rebalance before adding anything else. Nice and simple. You want a layer that works in the full drop, not just in isolation. You can also choose between two movement styles. One is filter motion. The other is delay motion. Filter motion is clean and efficient. Add auto filter and automate a gentle low pass opening into the drop, or a band pass sweep if you want to build tension. That's a very CPU-friendly way to create movement. It works really well when the vocal should feel like it's emerging from system. Delay motion is more dubby and more haunted. Keep the vocal mostly steady, but automate the delay on and off, or move the wet level and feedback only on phrase endings. That's great for darker jungle and deep rollers, especially when you want the vocal to feel like it's echoing through space rather than sitting in front of the speaker. What to listen for with filter motion is smoothness. Don't sweep wildly. Keep it controlled and subtle. What to listen for with delay motion is clarity. The repeats should add pressure, not blur the snare or make the groove feel late. Once the phrase, effects, and automation are feeling right, commit it to audio if the session is getting heavy. In Ableton, that means consolidating or resampling the vocal, so you can treat it like an audio element instead of keeping a live effect chain running the whole time. This is one of the smartest CPU moves you can make. If the vocal is only needed in an intro, a pre-drop pickup, or a switch-up, print it and move on. You'll save processing, and you'll also gain editing freedom. You can chop it, reverse the tail, duplicate a consonant hit, or build a transition from the rendered audio. Keep a dry backup before you print. Duplicate the track or save a clean version first. If you later want a different delay throw or a shorter tail, you'll be glad you did. Now place the vocal with bar length intent. Don't just drop it anywhere, it sounds cool. Indeed NB, a vocal often works best at the end of a 4-bar phrase, on bar 4 or 8 before a switch, on the first hit of a drop, or as a recurring callout in the second drop. A strong arrangement might look like this. Short filtered vocal hints in the intro, one phrase with a delay throw before the drop, one strong hit at the start of drop 1, then restraint, then a more aggressive or chopped variation in drop 2. That progression matters because vocal energy loses force if you keep it going too long. And here's a useful check. Lower the vocal by a couple of dB and see if it still reads. If you can still understand the phrase and feel the pressure, the placement is probably solid. If it disappears completely, you're leaning too hard on volume instead of shape. Another great check is mono. Make sure the vocal still makes sense in mono, especially if you've added width or a wet tail. Keep the main body centered whenever possible. Width is best used on the ambience, not the essential phrase itself. In club playback, the center is premium real estate. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't leave the whole vocal sample unedited. Don't stack too many devices just because you can. Don't let the vocal carry too much low end. Don't overdo delay feedback. Don't make the essential body too wide. And don't process the vocal without the drums and bass running. That last one catches a lot of people out. If the vocal is fighting the snare, sometimes the answer is not just turning it down. Often it's a small cut in the exact range where the snare needs to speak. That keeps the vocal character while preserving the drum punch. For darker, heavier DNB, keep the cuts short and ruthless. A single rag of phrase with a clean tail can sound heavier than a long loop, because it leaves space for the bass to breathe. Try subtle timing nudges too. A shout that lands just ahead of the beat can feel aggressive. A shout slightly behind can feel menacing. Keep those moves small though. Tiny changes often hit harder than obvious ones. If you want more density without obvious distortion, use saturator lightly and then pull the output back a touch. The ear often hears that is bigger before it hears it is fuzzier. And if the source vocal is already gritty, don't keep stacking more dirt. Sometimes the heavier move is actually a cleaner EQ shape and a shorter ambience. So here's the core idea to carry forward. Treat the rag of vocal like a percussion element with attitude, not like a singer sitting on top of the track. Ask whether it creates pressure in the groove. Ask whether it helps the drop hit harder. Ask whether the snare still cracks and the sub still owns the floor. Your challenge is to build one usable Raga vocal accent in 15 minutes. Use one sample. No more than 4 stock devices, and only one reverb or delay. Make one automated move, and if the chain works, print it to Audito. Build a 4-bar intro version, and a 1-bar drop version from the same idea. Keep it clean, keep it sharp, and make sure it still reads when the drums and bass come in.